This is the Realm of Agape Christian Church.
I thank God. I'm honoring, amen, Evangelist Dorothy Denise Williams Jackson in her absence. God bless and keep her. Amen. Taught me how to read before I reached preschool, read and write. So the teacher found out, I began to be her teacher helper. And then when they had the little assembly at the end, where we had to, you know, recite our little poems and whatnot, some of the kids were scared to go up there crying, and they had to fix their mic and help them stop crying. While they were helping one girl who was right before me stop crying and all, they had the mic kind of low because she was shorter than me. And I was looking over there to see if they were going to fix the mic. Everybody was taking their time to get over there. So I went on ahead and fixed the microphone, changed the height, and did it myself. Amen. 4 years old, figured it out. I was always able to figure stuff out. Amen. They always giving me puzzles, and I give them back the puzzles. Done. Amen. God helped me to be like that, and I was able to do that. They were running over there to fix the mic, and it was already fixed. And I started my recitation about the sanitation man. You know, he has work to do. He's important too, et cetera, et cetera. My mother probably still remembers it. She etched it in my DNA, so I didn't mess up that day. Amen. And they clapped and clapped. Amen. And they couldn't get the microphone out of my hand since 4 years old. Here I am still holding the microphone, fixing the stand right now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But amen. Love you, Queen Williams Jackson. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. And here we are, yet in our back to the basics of Christian living, this teaching and sermon series, we're looking at Ruth. Ruth 1, verses 16 and 17. Here we are today on this Mother's Day. Amen. Thank God for all of you here today. Amen. I know, God, you're able. Bless us as we go into the word now. Pray that you will ignite us aflame with the, amen, presence of the Lord in our inner core, ever burning up the dross that will lead us astray. Help us to stand firm in the faith. We know you're able, God, and to live according to the standards of heaven. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Ruth 1, 16 and 17 in the King James Version reads as thus, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Amen. What a amen way to just prove from the heart that you are loyal. I know that in our modern day, some people use these words in weddings, and the bride and groom are reciting these words to each other just to prove their loyalty to each other. We want to be loyal like that to our God. Amen. We want to be loyal to him because he's certainly loyal to us. And we're looking today at the life of Ruth. She is a type of the victorious person of God. And she became one who was in the messianic line. So a mother that helped to breed the very line that would bring Christ into the world. Amen. Amen. But she didn't start out that way. She was a Moabitess, idolatrous, baby-killing kind of person. And they would sacrifice babies so that their country would have longevity and success, and that the ground would bring forth crops in due season. They would sacrifice babies for that. My God, but she began to learn the real purpose of motherhood according to heaven's standard. And we're going to learn today through her life, through her testimony, that motherhood is not to be tried out, something to try out for fun. My God, All of you mothers can attest to that. Amen. Motherhood is not to be tried, for it will certainly try you. Amen. It can be a crucible of consecration, serving as a formidable rite of passage, leading to an anointing of servant leadership that is not for the faint of heart. If you have a faint heart, you probably should not be a mother. Amen. Tie up the tubes early. My God, I'm just saying that jokingly. I know some of you don't believe in that, but I'm just saying. The ones who shouldn't be a mother seems like, you know, they have 4 and 5 clans of kids. Amen. And the one that will be a good mother seemingly is infertile. My God. And a miracle of heaven has to come and touch the womb so that becomes fertile. My God. Meanwhile, you got, amen, umpteenth kinds of Ishmaels running around, amen, wreaking havoc. My God. But we need the holy women of God with the right mind. Let them breed, amen, and bring some, amen, goodness into the world so that, amen, God's kingdom can be advanced. Amen. Thank God. I hope that could be the case. We were eating in the diner one time long ago when our kids were real small. An elderly couple was leaving after eating, and they greeted us. They said, wait a minute, there's 2 kids there. We didn't even hear them. You guys need to have more kids, they said. Oh, my God. And my wife and I looked at each other. I know what he's used to seeing and hearing, you know. But I thank God that we were rearing our kids up to know that they too can control themselves. They too can have delayed gratification. And if you can mess up, you can clean up. Amen. We try to blame children for having a messed up home. Amen. But children may mess up the house, but mostly adults mess up the home. 2 different things. Amen. And we could have a happy home. We just got to get ourselves right in God. Amen. We get right with God and with yourself in God, and you're going to be right with others around you too, because you're going to love your neighbor, what, as yourself. You're going to, amen, put others in front of yourself. Amen. So Ruth had to learn that, and she became now a woman of God. God blessed her heart to go through faithfully in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And today in the New Testament, we have crowned the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as that Lord. So basically, amen, in inference, she was, amen, doing this in Jesus' name. And this was by way of hardship in the earth's journey of faith. If you make it through that, amen, you will be endowed like her with the heart of a godly mother. Let's ponder that thought today. The heart of a godly mother. Amen. Thank God. So the development of a committed godly heart, that's where we're at today. That will inevitably lead us if we stay there in the Spirit. We will inevitably experience a harvest of spiritual heritage. Amen. You're going to breed more goodness. The heart of godly mothers is a picture of how God wants to establish a right relationship with each and every one of us, giving each and every one of us the right to a spiritual heritage through a new spiritual birth. Not only that, but also a sustained commitment. You could be born again, but God gives us responsibility, the weight of responsibility. Pick up your cross and follow me. You must what? Sustain your commitment. Amen? But people today are thinking that you could just live run amok in all kinds of ways. The worst case scenario is you will lose some rewards and you will still make it in. But that is not what the scriptures teach us. My God, there's a great recompense of reward, but you have to suffer in the flesh and cease from sin. And the Bible is full of if-then statements. Covenants are based on if-then. If you do that, then this will be it. Amen. Thank God it's holiness or hell. God is not kind of holy. He didn't say, be ye kind of holy. He didn't say, be holy in an intermittent way. You could be holy a few days a week, but the rest, do whatever you want, baby. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. That is not what God is saying. The Holy Ghost will give you godly sorrow that leads to repentance if you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God. And there are scriptures in the New Testament speaking primarily to the saved people who have received the promise of the Holy Ghost. They too have to, amen, refrain from developing an apostate mindset. You can turn your back on the Lord. Doesn't matter how fluent you are in tongues. You too can decide that I will not follow Jesus. You will sing the devil's hymn. I have decided not to follow Jesus. I have turned back, not going to follow him. But God is calling for us to be resilient against the call of the enemy, against the call of our flesh, against the call of the ungodly world around us. The Holy Ghost can help you make it. You can't do it in your own strength. You need the strength of the Holy Ghost working in your life. That's how you will sustain your commitment. Thank God. So let's look at the testimony of Ruth, because it's going to bring this thesis alive. For it is a message of salvation for lost souls. Not only that, for the rededication of backslidden souls, and a revelation of the awaiting provisions for the household of faith. Amen. God is a rewarder of them who what? Diligently. You got to stick to it. Amen. You can't turn your back on the Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, where there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. We better not have variableness and shadows of turning in our commitment, because we will raise up to go down forever into the abyss, into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. It was created for the devil and his angels and those who seek to follow after his claim. But we can't run amok with every wind and doctrine. We must stay stationary in the foundation of the whole Word of God, from Genesis to the Revelation. Amen. All 66 books. Thank God. And don't let the devil add another footnote, because then it will be 666. And we don't need that. Amen. I need the equation of heaven. Hallelujah. 39 in the old, 27 in the new. God will bring it to pass. Amen. It began with God speaking, and his anointing created everything. 39, that's that number. Amen. And then you have God working. Amen. As he works in the body and in the spirit, he brings his spirit into the body. Amen. And brings perfection. Amen. And helps you to live right so you could go back to heaven with him. That's the 27. Amen. Put it all together. You're going to live this Bible. If you hear what God is saying, let his anointing work on you until you change for real. And less no, Lord. And all 100% yes, Lord. Before he cracks the sky, that's what he's working on. 100%. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We can't have one iota of no, Lord. And when we do have an iota of no, Lord, the Holy Ghost should be right there convicting you. Amen. It's not that the Holy Ghost is not convicting folks. It's that the people have turned a deaf ear to him and have called it this weird kind of phenomenon. I'm not convicted of that. You chose not to be convicted of that. Because there are teachers, and you have an itching ear for that which is going to make claim of the flesh life. God is saving us from the flesh life so we can live a holy and separated life in this present world through the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God. This is the testimony of Ruth. Amen. She turned her back on sin. Amen. And God is showing us through this testimony that we could be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. We can decide to say, I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what my body is saying. We're too high on this body chemical called dopamine. That's what happens when you have a certain sensual experience. And folks, amen, want to walk around like that. They're taking blue pills and doing all kind of stuff so they can walk around on that high. But there comes a time when you got to come down from those highs. You're going to get that dopamine going all in your body and say, ooh, that was good. Them French fries, ooh, that was good. Dopamine is flowing through your blood. My God, God is saying, amen, you can't live on dopamine. Amen. I know God put that in your chemistry, but we're not going to live on that. Amen. If you give heed to the flesh, what's going to happen? The results of what the flesh will bring. You got to live by what the Holy Ghost is saying. Amen. Let's live for what the Holy Ghost is saying. Amen. And not give in to the lusts of the flesh. Amen. Ruth is teaching us all of these things. Let's look at the synopsis of the book of Ruth. I'm going to rely on a late Bible teacher, seminary president, and author, E.D. Rodmacher. He notes in the Nelson Bible commentary that he helped to co-author. He passed away and went to glory in 2014. God rest his soul. But they write together as a group. Ruth is God's mission to show us a beautiful story of true love, true loyalty, and redemption. Amen. It is one of the only two books in the Bible named after a woman. You know the other one? Esther. Amen. This narrative in Ruth is a masterpiece, and it tells the story of the salvation of Ruth, the idolatrous Moabitess. Through her relationship with her mother-in-law, Naomi, Ruth learned about the living God and became his devoted follower. She abandoned her upbringing of idolatry and infanticide. You know, they were offering babies on the altars. Amen. There in her country of Moab, on the altars of Chemosh. And they did that so that their country would be successful in the military and they would have a fertile land and have great, great bumper crop harvests. So they sacrificed babies for that. So she left all of that unholy heritage, left her homeland. Amen. And she demonstrated both her love and her loyalty to her widowed mother-in-law and her faith in Israel's God. Her faith was well placed, for God not only provided for her, but also placed her in the messianic family line. Look at God. Amen. First killing babies, now bringing forth the baby that would change the world. Amen. When you want a new campaign in the world, amen. God does not bring forth great armies. He births a baby. Amen. A baby changes everything. Hallelujah, God. My firstborn changed everything. I had my mind on saying, you know, man is the ruler in the home and in the church. But I was thinking wrong about ruler. Amen. And I just knew the firstborn would be a man child. Like I was the man child firstborn, you know. And we looked at the sonogram, and the sonogram said something else. It's like the Bible. The Bible is telling you the truth, but you're going to read into it. I said, I don't know, nurse. You need to look again. She said, no, that's an elbow right there. Amen. That's a girl. Amen. I'm going to turn it 10,000 ways. It's a girl. Amen. All of them say girl, 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 girl. Amen. Thank God. So I said, no, I got to change my mind now. Lord, what is this? I thought for sure. He said, no, some of that was your flesh and your upbringing and theological society, your subculture. But no, I'm going to train you according to the real truth in the word of God. God says, my spirit shall be poured out on what? All flesh. God has female leaders and God has male leaders. The common denominator is leadership that comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. So I thank God for Ruth being saved. A baby had to come forth, and whether it be a girl or a boy, God's going to get his mission done. Amen. She teaches us three main lessons. So in Ruth, Bethlehem had to be forsaken, but later, through much harm in the life of Naomi, Naomi came back to Bethlehem, but with her kindred spirit, Ruth. Amen. So let's look at the three main lessons. Number one, those who have left the intimate love of God must return and be refortified. That's the first lesson she taught us. Secondly, the prerequisite to God's anointing that everybody's talking about. I'm anointed. But the prerequisite to God's anointing is his supernatural washing. Washing means there had to be somewhat repentance. I'm turning away from this and turning away from that. Folks don't want to turn away from this and that. They want to keep doing this and that and still say, I'm anointed. Number three, the only people who will ever get to heaven are sinners saved by what? By grace. Amen. And we depend on that grace. It's the power of God. It's an appointment with God to live up to your part of the responsibility to keep saying, yes, Lord, from the bottom of your heart. Yes, Lord. He's going to know who's not really saying yes, Lord, with their whole being. Because you will go before him and he will say, what? Depart from me. You're not plugged in. In other words, I never knew you. Knew you, that's a present tense thing. You got to stay plugged in. You got to stay present tense. Once you unplug, you were plugged in, so you past tense now. Amen. You got to what? Stay plugged in. Forever a present tense. So you got to stay in there. You have to have a sustained commitment. Look at number one. Those who have left the intimate love of the Lord must return and be refortified. They got to do that to regain their rightful status as only Christ can offer. Only Christ can offer this. You go by another gospel, that's a cursed gospel. That is not something God wrote. People are rewriting and adding and taking away, but you can't. You have to have the thesis of God. When you leave the thesis of God, now you got some kind of premise with no foundation, and now you can create anything you want. You can't do that. You got to stay plugged in the root of truth. And if you stay plugged into the root of truth, amen, you're going to have the purpose of heaven. But once you unplug all of that and dig it up, now you can create anything you want. And this is what people are doing. They have theologies when there's only really one theology. So we must allow God to prepare us as his well-adorned bride. Women, you got to be a well-adorned bride before you become a mother. But a lot of us got it backwards today. You got to be pure, but a lot of us got it backwards today. You got to be an anointed bride, but a lot of people got that backwards today. You have to be perfumed and well-dressed for spiritual success. But we're all about being, it's like Godzilla, what they call it, Bridezilla, is that what it is? Amen. We have created monsters. It's all about the flesh. You have to be fortified in the flesh. And you have to have poom, poom, pang and look a certain way and have them butterflies glued on your eyelids. Thank God, everything. My God, you don't have lips. You can get some. Amen. They can put a needle in there and help you to get some lips. You don't have a backyard. They can put a needle in there and help you get one. They got all kind of stuff. Amen. People, amen, playing their own cars and dashing around town. They all get that joke later. Thank God. My God, my God. See, that's what the flesh wants. It wants to have a perpetual party. But what it is really a perpetual pity party because there's great pity on you, but you don't realize it. You're masquerading as though it is not that. And that's how the devil is. He masquerades as an angel of light. But we all know what his real destiny is, according to the word of God. See, God wants us to experience real heavenly joy, which is unspeakable. You can't even fathom it. It's full of glory, which means it's full of his presence. The light of God is a presence, amen, that can't, amen, be explained. It burns up the dross. Sin cannot glory in his presence, my God. See, that can be yours if you give up and give in. God wants us to get up and go for that, amen. Which brings us to number two. In Ruth, we see that, number two, the prerequisite to God's anointing is his supernatural washing. Ruth humbly accepted Naomi's advice and how to go before her kinsman redeemer when they got back to Bethlehem. Ruth removed all of those idols out of her spirit, right? And now she is full of the faith of God. And now she can move in holy faith and seek the ways that would bring renewal to her life instead of a faltering in her life. We need to do that. Stop listening to, giving heed to, teaching, tasting, touching, and handling that which is only bringing detriment to our life, which brings us godly sorrow, godly sorrow, godly sorrow. It comes a time when we ought to be having joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. His anointing should be abounding in our life. So God's anointing will preserve you once you get there. It'll preserve you through a replenishing and sealing process. That should happen every day. We take a bath. Amen. But sometimes we don't bathe in the Holy Ghost. And we still got that same diaper on when we were tarrying for the Holy Ghost around the altar 50 years ago. My God, it comes a time you got to change that diaper, baby. And now they don't even have cloth diapers no more. They got Pampers and everything. You are lost. You got to get with the program. You need the new memo. You need a new anointing. Amen. I once spoke in tongues 5 decades ago. No, you need a new tongue. My God, get in your prayer closet and hear what thus saith the Lord through the heavenly language between you and God. Amen. We don't have to hear that. Amen. There's going to be newbies coming in the house of God. They don't know what that's all about. And that's wreaking havoc and confusion in the house of God. Folks are just, you know, having these tongue-speaking contests. And the new person don't know how to fit into that. So they're going to walk out the door. My God, but God is calling for us, amen, to, amen, bridle our tongue. Never mind all this, I'm fluent in tongue. You need to bridle that. The bride need to learn how to bridle. Thank God. So God's anointing can now preserve you and somebody else to catch on fire. Because there's not going to be confusion when they catch on fire. They're going to know. They're going to see God. Amen. For who he is. And they're going to walk with their eyes wide open and walk up to the altar to get saved. Amen. They're going to feel the power of God. Do things that they never felt before. God's going to sober up people. Amen. He's going to help folks who are over-sexualized now to be as though they are virgin. My God, he will help you to cool yourself off. My God, God's anointing will preserve you. He will replenish and seal you. He's going to produce new life in you. Keep you in, amen, that environment of holiness where there are no impediments in the air that will contaminate you. There's contaminating evidence all around, but you can be sealed in the Holy Ghost and escape through it. My God, you should never want to be sealed in self-righteousness because the impediments will be there, but you will act as if you are okay when you are not. You will have a false testimony. Amen. You can either be sensually sacred. People are doing that today. Imagine mixing that. Isn't that an oxymoron? I'm sensually sacred because they are sensual, not having the who? Holy Ghost. Amen. Sensually sacred. Or you could be spiritually sanctified. Which do you want? Eventually, Christ will come and separate the wheat from the tares, the goats from the sheep. My God. The sensually sacred are satisfied in and of themselves. We talked about that last time. While the spiritually sanctified are satisfied in Christ alone, the enemy will convince you that you need more than Christ. More people go down to hell laboring under that misconception than any other. And in a broader sense, the way which seems right to a man is his own way. The path of self-will. Will scorn, amen, all who come to you with divine guidance. You will begin to murmur against all holy counsel. If you are in a state of mind and spirit where no one, even God, can tell you anything, It can end only how? In disaster and spiritual death. According to Proverbs 14:12, you know it, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Believer's Bible Commentary notes that the way which seems right to men is salvation by good works or good character. I've been a good boy. I can make it in. But Proverbs 16:25, out of the mouth of two or three, let every word be established. The Bible proves itself. Amen. This is a witness helping Proverbs 14:12. Proverbs 16:25 also states the very same thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Believer's Bible Commentary further notes that this verse repeats Proverbs 14:12 for emphasis. It's like, verily, verily, amen. God is showing you the truth. God didn't mess up. It wasn't fortuitous, so he kind of lucked up and said that. No, that's why I like shooting the ball in the hoop two or three times so folks won't say, you got lucky. No, I know how to shoot. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It seems logical and reasonable that the way to heaven is by being good and doing good things. That sounds right. But the true fact is that as we get to number three now, the only people who will ever get to heaven are what? Sinners saved by grace. Amen. And we're almost done. This is what is illustrated by the character of the well-to-do, compassionate husband, Boaz. He's a type of Christ, the compassionate Jesus, who is our kinsman redeemer in glory. Amen. So Jesus spares no expense. He lavishly gives to us all of his riches to purchase us. Amen. Redeem us. Amen. Snatch us out of the hand of the enemy. So there is no need to fear in being, watch this phrase, there's no need to fear in being his love slave. See, that sounds cringy in our modern day, right? Because we know love slaves do all kind of negative stuff. But when we are dealing with Jesus, didn't Paul say he'd rather be a slave for the Lord? Amen. You could be a slave to sin, but amen. I'm going to, amen, give my all to Jesus. Amen. They're going to call me a fool. I'm going to be a fool for Jesus then. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. But Galatians 3:12-14 in the NLT says this, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. See, all the law does is tell you what you should be doing. It doesn't help you to have strength to do it. Amen. That came in the New Testament where Christ, amen, will write the law in your heart because the Holy Ghost's power is going to enable you to live a holy and separated life in this present world. Amen. So the scripture goes on to say, when he was hung on the cross, Jesus took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, quote, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. End quote. This referenced a different scripture, right? So through the work of Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. And we Christians receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. God pronounced that it would happen, and by faith, we have to trust him and know that he's going to do it. So the Holy Spirit is the promised gift of God. He is described metaphorically in terms that reflect his activity, such as, you ever heard of this? The Holy Ghost referred to as a wind or a breath. Or what about a river or a fountain? What about being your guide or your comforter? Amen. In other words, the seal of God's ownership on those who believe, as well as the guarantee, sometimes they use that word, or the earnest, of the believer's future inheritance. In other words, as one hymnologist put it, a foretaste of glory divine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Amen. He's the icing on my cupcake. Amen. Hallelujah. Get a little taste of what it's going to really be like. God said, that's just a little cupcake, baby. Wait till you get there. Amen. So you see, you must be spiritually washed in this preparation sense, like Ruth had to do by the sacrificial work of Christ when he shed his blood voluntarily in our place, redeeming us back to God. This entitles us to our inheritance lost by the spiritual death of sin. Jesus took the responsibility of becoming our spiritual fiancé, if you will, as the ministry of Boaz typifies for Ruth's sake. My Realm of Agape Bible Institute students, remember the typifying? Amen. So in John 15, 1 and 2, where Christ speaks of the Father as that old-fashioned word, husbandman. In other words, a farmer, and himself as the vine, and his disciples as the branches. He meant that we can be graciously transformed to have his character and his ways. God, the husbandman or the farmer, gets the ground ready. He tills the ground. Sometimes they have to go one way and then crisscross and go another way until that ground is made ready. We have somebody in our midst. Amen. Did some, I believe, was it sharecropping? They had to get that ground ready, did they not? They can't have plants coming up until that ground was good and ready for the seeds to go in, and then it sprouted up, amen, and then there was a crop, and then you could go to picking, amen? My God, you can't go to picking unless that ground was made ready and the seeds sprouted up. So there has to be a sowing and what? Reaping. God sows into us, prepares the soil of our soul. Amen. And Jesus said, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. You're going to have my character, right? That's what's going to happen. God is preparing the ground for the promised seed of Abraham, who is Jesus Christ. He wants him to sprout in you new life. When faith causes this seed to germinate in us, it brings forth life that is finite or eternal. Which one? Eternal, amen. You're going to what? Live how long? Eternally, forever. Hallelujah. So God, the husbandman, prepares us, who are supposed to be his church, for the husband, who is Jesus, who comes to take us to the eternal place that he has prepared for us. He said, come on, honey bunch. We got somewhere to go. Look what I made for you. My God, and we're going to be so happy because God never fails. He never lies. He won't die along the way. You will not be a widow when you come to Christ and receive his promise. He's going to, amen, make good on his promise. He's not going to die in the interim. He's not going to lie in the interim. My God, he will never fail. So we can stay connected to this joy unspeakable, which is full of glory. But the connection is directly proportioned to our diligence. We got to stay in the scripture. It's according to our what? Diligence. Sustained commitment. It's our destined place, which is ours for the asking. Who's on the throne of your heart today? The Holy Ghost is asking. Is it spiritual death or life? Which one? Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life, all capital letters. And no person can go to the Father except through him. You must choose him if you have the mind to pursue life. Christians must choose him daily and not turn back. It's an everyday thing. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I what? We'll rejoice and be glad in it. If you don't make that declaration and claim, the devil has another declaration and claim for you. He's always sitting there waiting, as I say, to devangelize. But God wants us to experience his evangelism. Amen. Christians must pursue him on a daily. Choose him on a daily. Non-Christians must face him or face the destiny of those who choose to reject God's promise of redemption. You can be a part of this if you make up your mind today. Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if you what will hear his voice, harden not your heart. My God, what can we learn from the heart of a godly mother? As a godly mother in the making, Ruth had a legal right to seek after her rightful place in Bethlehem. This shows us that we all have a Redeemer, Christ the Lord, who alone has the power to renew our position with the Father, who becomes our Father by making us joint heirs of his kingdom. We cannot be drafted in by a mandate, like get on over there, pulling us out of our home and making us join the army. No, no, no. My uncles had to do that. It was illegal. My grandma had too many sons in there. My God, going to Vietnam. That's not how the Lord works. We cannot be drafted in by a mandate. But we can be lovingly grafted into the eternal vine, which is Christ. Amen. Who is Christ the Lord? Where there is abundant life coming from a well that will never run dry. Didn't Jesus tell the woman at the well about that? Amen. I'm going to give you living water. My God. Jesus said, I am that water. My God. Jesus is eternally committed to all of us. You know, God loves folk that don't even love him back. God loves folks that hate him. God loves folks that are all, amen, immersed in witchcraft. God loves folks who are immersed in all kind of whoredoms and whatnot. My God, God loves us all. He calls every last one of us, calls us to salvation. Will we answer the call is the question. He is graciously calling for us to choose his loving truth over the enemy's destructive lies. Won't you enter into your divine destiny today? Hopefully we have learned from Ruth's testimony so that we too can gain the heart of a godly soldier of Jesus Christ. Today they happen to be mothers, but it could be a father, it could be a son, it could be a daughter. It could be a child, a teen, a young adult, an older adult, golden year adult, my God. But we must decide to follow Jesus. No turning back. I'm going to follow him. Amen. Father God, I pray that this word will penetrate our hearts. And I pray the Holy Ghost, amen, as he has harrowed the ground, the soil of our soul, prepared it for the seed of the gospel, that it will now be planted and germinate and sprout, give root, amen, and grow and bring forth fruit in its due season, amen, and will gain, amen, such growth that it will now present a bumper crop of sorts, and there will be great fruitfulness. Where the Bible says much fruit. God is into much fruit. But we got to start with saying yes to his will. You need much fruit in all areas of your life. Some of us have much fruit here and there, but not over here and over there. But now why don't you look at those destitute spots in your life, those places that seem infertile. I hear the Holy Ghost, amen, trying to go into that ground that's called the fallow ground. Hasn't been turned over. God wants to turn it over right here and right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Go ahead and give it to God. Say, God, that's my dry spot. I need help there. Holy Ghost, let your power run through there. Oh, help me, oh God, that you will harrow the ground. And I will say, yes, Lord, as you have awakened me and sobered me up to know where my bad spots are, if there be any wickedness in me. I know you're able, Lord. My best thought might be a wicked place, for our righteousness is as a filthy rag. Let us not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. But I pray, Father God, if you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out. Strengthen me. I want to be right. I want to be saved. I want to be whole.
We of the Realm of Agape Christian Church pray that the Holy Word of God has richly blessed your soul. To send prayer requests, use the contacts page of our website, www.roagape.org. We need your continued prayers and financial support to maintain this ministry. You can also find a secure means of donating on our website. God bless you.